Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it is always really, really a joy to be able to broadcast to you. And also something that we now begin to find as being, very rejuvenating, to be able to connect with our people weekly and to get the kind of feedback and the kind of positive energy that we've been able to get now for almost 3 years in doing this particular radio broadcast. So we want to thank all of you for your continual support and certainly your best wishes. Before we begin the show tonight, we, of course, always give thanks and praises for our Creator for all that we are able to do and all that we are projected to do in the future. And, of course, we are always appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors, those who paved the way for us to be able to continue the work that we now are able to do and are obtaining victories, every day. So we're very thankful for that. We are really in the process of preparing to really step some things up here at New Day Resurrection and Liberation, and also in terms of the Million Woman March and its movement. Now, for those of you who are ongoing listeners, then you know, of course, the Million Woman March is preparing to observe the 13th year anniversary and commemoration of the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere ever. Now, for those who receive our e-blurbs, you probably have already gotten some information about our upcoming Founders Convention, and that, of course, is going to take place October the 18th through the 26th here in Philadelphia, and it is the first of several very, very important kinds of gatherings that will begin to further establish the MWM work on a global scale now, and also, begin to really kind of clear the path and straighten some things out that really need to be done over the course of the past 12 or so years. We've been quite successful in kind of clearing up and clearing out some things that is pretty much indigenous to a movement or something that is really going to be beneficial to a people. Well, we had to go through that kind of thing just as many groups have. And, again, we've been blessed to be able to really kind of weed some of that stuff out. And now I'm so happy to be able to report that we are ready to move forward with full force in the way that it was envisioned early on, actually in 1995, even though we didn't make the Million Woman March public until 1997. In 1995 is when it actually went into work or began to go underway, right after the Million Man March, as a matter of fact. And then in 96 is when it officially was launched, and it was launched underground. So you're going to really begin to get more information about that because, it's time that not only the truth be told, but also that, we begin to make certain that we continue the legacy that we are supposed to be continuing. Okay, moving right along. I want to remind you that if you wish to communicate with us a little later on, we're going to open up the lines for communications, and you'll be able to give us comments or opinions or whatever by just calling area code 646-652-2232. Again, 646-652-2232. We're going to also open up the chat room a little later on as well, probably at the top of the hour, which will be at 11 o'clock. Now, let's see, what do we have coming up for the show tonight? Well, we are going to hopefully reconnect with Cameron Fred Hampton Jr., who we just had on a special broadcast earlier this week, and also hopefully this time we'll be able to connect with Brother Malcolm Shabazz. Brother Malcolm was not able to connect with us this past week. I think he was either on the road or something to that effect, and there's a good possibility he'll be able to call in tonight. And I did speak with Chairman Fred earlier, and Brother Malcolm was, in fact, doing a lecture, so hopefully he will still be able to call us tonight. In fact, we've extended our show for an hour just to, you know, further prepare in hopes that he is, in fact, able to call in after the lecture. Okay, so that's going to be going on. Now, what else is going on? Well, we're going to give you more information about the upcoming convention, the Founders Convention for MWM, which, again, is very, very important. But we are also going to give you some information really in a few moments about something that just happened here in Philadelphia a little over a week ago. We're talking about police and governmental terrorism. Now, for some, today, September the 11th, is a day that, you know, some observe as being a day that America was attacked. Well, we want to make certain that we brought attention to the fact that black folks are attacked, like, every day. Not just attacked, but terrorized every day. Not just terrorized, but exploited every day. And we can go on and on and on, but the bottom line is, you know, we've really got to begin to focus on what are we, in fact, going to do about it. Well, for those again who get our e-blurbs, and if you don't, please just send us an email at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will make sure that we put you on our listing so that you can get regular e-blurbs for New Day Resurrection Liberation and other important kinds of announcements, but definitely for New Day. Again, if you did get an e-blurb, then you also got a link to a videotaping that happened in the West Philadelphia area here in Philadelphia of a brother whose name is Brother Askia. Well, if you go to YouTube and put in West Philly Police or Police in West Philly, one of them, it'll come up, and you will see very vividly, very clearly, a brother, a black man, who is beaten, you know, with a nightstick or whatever those things are called. You will also see how he is handcuffed, and so forth. And so, as people want to talk about, you know, September 11th and, you know, the what happened in New York, well, you know, surely that is a very sad situation, but surely it is also a very sad situation that all over the country, all over the U.S., black folks are catching hell every day. So as we look at the commemoration or what have you of 9/11, you know, what we need to do is make sure that we look at 24/7. And in the black community, that could be at any time, for any reason, or for no reason. So, you know, again, we just want to remind people that this is a fact going on every day in our world, in our community, to our people. Now, with that said, we want to also remind you that another kind of very interesting situation, of course, that of the Scott sisters, still incarcerated, still suffering from not only the injustices of this system, but also from just straight up plain old racism. I mean, just straight up plain and simple racism, which isn't really that simple, but nevertheless, we're talking about racism in such an escalated form nowadays that many are able to give it the phrase or coin it as European domination, or shall we say attempted global European domination, i.e. white supremacy. That really is what we're talking about. That's really what we're seeing when we see things such as Scott Sisters. And in the very near future, we're going to kind of elaborate further on the MWM and the Black Women's Defense League position on these cases, such as Scott Sister and April Griffin and so many other sisters who are presently, in these dungeons, in these prisons. We are getting ready to bring forward a real plan to address these issues. For those of you who remember, in 1997, we were able to provide an international focus on the case of Kemba Smith. And so we know that there are many Black women incarcerated really for no real reason. Sometimes being in the wrong place at the wrong time or just being, period, okay? So there has to be something in place that will address that on a regular basis, something that is not reactionary, something that is not just, going to do a hoop and a ha at some given point, but something that's going to be there from the beginning to the end. And the end being getting our sisters freed from these situations and from these prisons and so forth. And so the Black Women's Defense League has, in fact, come up with several initiatives to do just that. And next month, some of that information will, in fact, be released. Okay, that's kind of what's going to happen now. We are waiting for a brother to call in who is the cousin of Brother Askir, and he's going to tell us about what happened here in Philadelphia with the brutalizing of this brother, Brother Askir that is, and also he's going to tell us about a demonstration that took place a little earlier today. And also one that's going to be taking place tomorrow here in Philly. I did get the opportunity to talk today to Brother Askew's attorney. And so later on this week or for next Saturday show, we will have Brother Askew's attorney on. His name is, I believe, Evan Hughes. And, again, we did speak with him earlier. And he's going to, kind of give us some insight into how they are preparing for this case. Askir, by the way, has been charged. He's been charged with resisting arrest and, just some other crazy stuff. And once again, you see the video, you can't help but to wonder, why? Why did they have to continuously keep hitting him? And as of today, the blood that, of course, came from Brother Askew, because he sustained several injuries. If I remember correctly, I was told he has staples in his head from being hit several times. And, of course, quite a bit of blood came about as a result of that, and from what I was told today at the rally, the blood is still on the sidewalk. Okay, something else that was also brought to our attention about that particular situation is that this part of West Philadelphia, like many parts of Philadelphia, like many parts of all over the country, Black communities have other people in their communities that run the majority of the businesses. So in this case, which is a business district known as Lansdowne Avenue area, that is, a lot of the businesses on that street is ran and operated by non-Black folks, people who are not of African descent. And primarily people who are of Asian descent or of, Latino or Dominican descent. And so And talking with one of our sisters earlier today, she raised a very interesting point. And the point is, you know, what position do these business people take in view of seeing and hearing about what occurred on Aspen Avenue a little over a week ago with the beating of this brother? Hopefully we'll be able to find out. We'll be able to find out if, in fact, the business people of that district, because most business districts have some form of business association. So what we hope to find out is what their position is on the situation. This happened in an area where they are making a lot of money off of the people in the community. So there needs to be something said by these business persons as to what they think about what happened. As a matter of fact, we have gotten several reports from some of the business owners in that area, one in particular who was an eyewitness to seeing the beating and was almost accosted himself, was almost, manhandled by the police himself, was told to go inside. And when he refused to do that, the police officer attempted to sort of intimidate him. Needless to say, what we didn't mention earlier is that the police officer, or one of the police officers, also did pull his weapon out. Okay, and this again is when Brother Esquia was in fact handcuffed. So it's really a blessing in this day and age that, folks have camera phones because we're able now to instantaneously see and record what is going on. And, now we're able to prove and document some of the various things that is happening in our community. Now, speaking of prove and document, one of the things that is happening here in Philadelphia that the Men & Women March / movement is preparing to do is to bring forward a segment of its operations, and it is the Human Rights Commission. Okay, it's a cadre that is focusing specifically on human rights, and then there's an element of that that is also focusing on what we call natural rights. Okay, and as I said earlier, it's really now time to begin to step things up a little bit. And what that means is that while all over the world, people talk about human rights and there's a lot of legislation and a lot of information and so forth that focuses on human rights. Of course, there's international courts that also deal with the issue of human rights. But for the most part, I think most will agree, there doesn't seem to be much done in a lot of cases and in a lot of areas about human rights. I mean, we're still looking at places like the FAR. We're still looking at places like the United States, as a matter of fact. And the issue of human rights, the issue of genocide in particular, is one that it seems many countries try to shy away from. If not shy away from, just don't deal with it at all, period. So what we now feel has to happen is the whole matter has to be stepped up, and the dialogue is getting ready to move into the area of what we call natural rights. Now, in the very near future, there's going to be forums that the Men & Women Movement will begin to conduct, starting here in Philadelphia, because this is our home base, this is our national headquarters, and has been since the inception or conception of MWM. It has remained the national headquarters here in Philadelphia. And again, what's going to happen starting next month as a part of our movement initiation work, there's going to be hearings established on a national level that will begin to talk more about not only, again, the issue of human rights, but the issue and how to proceed in the obtainment of natural rights. First, of course, to provide information about what that is, What is natural rights? How can it be obtained? Now, some of the other mechanisms that go into that type of dialogue is things like plebiscite. Yes. For those who are not familiar with that word, plebiscite, you will definitely become more familiar with it in upcoming segments of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation, because that, too, is one of the platform issues that we now bring forward from the national MWM and its movement. The idea of implementing preliminary sessions to begin focusing on the establishment or the holding of plebiscites. This is a protracted situation, meaning it's going to take a while to really, formulate those types of sessions, but it certainly has to start somewhere. And so MWM, along with several other groups and organizations, have begun the work to begin establishing such forums. Now, for those who are not familiar with a plebiscite, let me just kind of summarize it for you for now, and then at another time we will elaborate further. But plebiscite really gets into sessions that a group of people hold or participate in order to vote or make a decision upon specific things that is relevant only to them. In this case, of course, we as a people have to begin to exercise self-determination to the degree where we are able to really deal with citizenship, whatever type of citizenship that we determine we wish to have. Now, of course, there have been many in the past who have, brought this issue to the forefront over the years. Needless to say, I recently had the opportunity to see a lecture that was provided by one of our warrior attorneys, Brother Alton Maddox. And in that, he covers a lot of issues about the so-called United States Constitution. And, in doing so, it was so enlightening, and at the same time, it was also so necessary to have some of this information made clearer. I mean, many of us know and knew certain things about the Constitution, but, there's so many portions or so many dots that are now being collected and connected that, we really have a better comprehension of what's going on with it. And the bottom line is, black folks, for the most part, could never be citizens of the so-called United States. You just can't do it. And so with that understood, it behooves us to begin to establish and formulate what it is that we need to do and how it is we need to go about in doing it. Again, we're not going to get too deep into, this whole idea, but we will definitely in the very near future. And, of course, you will be able to, really know that it's so necessary, it's so important to proceed in a way that intelligent people would proceed, especially if they're serious about their freedom and if they're serious about justice. Okay, so with that said, let's see, something else you wanted to bring to your attention. Again, that's just one of the areas that we're looking at, for upcoming Million Women March movement sessions. A couple of other things we wanted to bring to your attention that is in November, I have been invited to go to Belize, where I'm looking to spend some time with our brother, Bilal Sumi Ali, who, of course, we've had on our show a couple of times, and his wife, his wonderful wife, Sister Falani. Now, one of the things that we're looking at doing when I visit is to talk further about the establishment of a health center there in Belize. And, of course, we've talked about what we want to do here in the States. in going to Belize, it will help me to further examine how to proceed in terms of setting up training sessions for those brothers and sisters who are really interested in becoming African holistic health and healing practitioners. We are looking at establishing training sessions for them. Very soon we will begin having those sessions here in the States. For those of you who tuned in a few weeks ago, you heard Brother Dr. Kokai Patterson on our show, and that now is one of the official trainers for MWM and the African Holistic Health and Healing Society. Brother Kokai Patterson will be coming to Philadelphia soon, and soon thereafter we plan to have him in a few other cities as well, where those brothers and sisters have shown an interest in learning acupuncture, detox acupuncture, because our focal point is to help our people get off of drugs, to help them get off of other forms of addiction, be it smoking, be it food addiction, and also emotional kinds of things as well. You know, we're looking at treating depression and anxieties and other kinds of things with the use of acupuncture. So those are just some of the things that are coming forward starting next month. And, you know, you need to stay tuned to New Day Resurrection and Liberation, and we will be able to kind of give you a lot of information and insight into some of the upcoming sessions. Now, let's see. We are still waiting for Brother Kareem, I believe, to call in. And in the meantime, we're waiting for him to call in. We want to remind you that we also have, we are also waiting for Miss Jane McCormick, I believe the name is. Again, for those of you who received the e-blurb, well, that's a whole nother story. And again, while we're waiting for Kareem to call in to tell us about the police terrorism situation, we want to let you know that very recently, as we were doing some preparations, research for the upcoming MWM Founders Convention, we happen to have run across some information, and the information was about something that was being called the 1 Million Women's March. Well, you can imagine, family, when we saw that, we were like, oh, hell no. Here we go again. You know, we just got finished with exposing and getting rid of people who wanted to perpetrate frauds and, you know, do all kinds of madness, utilizing the name Million Woman March, and we were able to issue cease and desist orders on them, and also, you know, expose them for the opportunistic kinds of things that they were attempting to do. And, I mean, we just, you know, in the past year or so was able to accomplish that. Well, now, just last week, we go and begin to prepare for our upcoming, anniversary, and lo and behold, here we go again with somebody out there talking about doing a 1 Million Women March. Well, as you know, we was like right on that one without a doubt. Now, as it turns out, there was a website, and the website, I mean, had all of this stuff on it about, you know, fighting violence and abuse and so forth, and it was almost as if they had, you know, been, they were looking at what we were doing, and then decided that, okay, here's a way that we can usurp that by saying we're going to have a march for women, for all women, and focus on violence and abuse. Okay, now, you know, this was as clear as day for us that we saw exactly what the maneuver was. And again, this 1 Million Women's March was being organized for next year for Washington, D.C. And interestingly enough, since most people know that each year the original Women March tends to do something, and certainly really throughout the whole year, but definitely around this time of year leading up to October 25th. So the reality is, if anyone was going to look for something that we might were going to do, if they went online to look for it, they would find this other thing. So we knew immediately that this was a ploy, and it was really designed to create a distraction and to create confusion, because you could not put in a Google search, you know, for Many Women March and not come up with these people, because their website literally said 1 million Women March. The bottom line is we ended up contacting the people, and as it turns out, NECA, my assistant, spoke with Ms. Jane, and we were told that though she was aware of the Million Man March, she was not aware of the Million Woman March. Now, interestingly enough, we got several emails from Ms. Jane, who is the organizer of this 1 million women's march for violence and abuse. We got several emails from her, and she noted in one of the emails that she had been doing lectures for a long time, and that you know, she even had FBI friends and so forth and so on. Well, needless to say, you know, red flags had already been up when we initially saw it, but certainly after she talked about her FBI friends, we then pretty much had confirmed what we knew had already happened. Well, the bottom line is, ultimately, Ms. Jane said that she would take the website down because we did let her know that we would pursue any legal grounds that was necessary, and because we know that we hold the trademark pending for Million Woman March, we knew that, you know, that would not be a problem whatsoever. So with that said, Ms. Jane indicated that she would take the website down. Unfortunately, the last time we looked, which was yesterday, the website was still up. So we invited her to come on the show for tonight, and she did agree to do so. So hopefully we will hear from Ms. Jane very soon. And for those of you who are interested, you can also call in. And you can ask her, you know, why she felt it was necessary to do that. I mean, you know, it's not like you couldn't come up with some other name. Surely, you know, if you wanted to do a march to fight violence and abuse, certainly you could come up with some other name. But I guess not, since they did not. Well, at any rate, moving right along. So we're waiting again for Ms. Jane to call in. Now, when we talked about the clip earlier, he said that he didn't believe that she would call in. And I said to Brother Cliff, no, I think she really will, because, you know, the one thing that we know about, you know, people is that they really like to come on our shows, our programs, and so forth. They like for their voices to be heard, and, you know, hopefully she will do that. But again, time will tell. At any rate, we're going to get ready to open the chat room, as we said we would. And again, we are still waiting for two calls, actually. We are waiting for Ms. Jane to call, who is the organizer for an alleged 1 million women's march that has been slated for next year sometime. There was no date given on the website, just this for 2011, and it's to take place in Washington, D.C. And we're also waiting for Brother Kareem to call in, and he, of course, is one of the relatives of a brother who was brutalized, terrorized, you know, here in Philadelphia. So, okay, the chat room is now open. We invite all of you to, you know, go there and post your information or, you know, begin to dialogue with one another. And we will be joining you in there very shortly as well. Okay, in the meantime, we're going to check our live line, and we still do not see yet. Ms. Jane has not called in yet. And also, we do not see that Brother Kareem is not called in yet either. Well, okay, so if you would like to make a comment or you would like to share some information with us tonight, feel free to do so. You can call us at area code 646-652-2232. Again, 646-652-2232. We had initially planned for two folk to call in, and for whatever reason, they have not as of yet. So we are just going to wait around for a little while to see if, in fact, they would like to do so. Okay. Let's see. While we're waiting, let's see if we can go to another topic for tonight. There was a couple of other topics that we wanted to bring to your attention. Oh, yes, I do know of one in particular. It seems that two of the projects, actually three of the projects, coming from the official Naomi Women March, and now it's Global Movement. There's three projects that will be introduced in October for the Founders Convention. One, the Kujichagulia Ujima Ujamaa Sweepstakes. Now, that is one of the kind of what we call financial wealth development project, because the Million Women Movement has several initiatives that's being brought forward. One includes a school for girls, a independent school for girls. Not a charter school, not a public school, an independent school for girls. So in looking at how we would do these things, we had to come up with ways to be certain we were able to finance them. So one of the ways that we came up with is the Kujichagulia Ujamaa Ujamaa Sweepstakes. Well, Kujichagulia, of course, translates into meaning self-determination. Ujima Ujamaa translates into being collective work and responsibility and collective economics. So we matched that up and produced a program, a project that would not only benefit our purposes in maintaining our programs independently, meaning without grants, without, you know, the 501 baggage, without the corporate, tagging and so forth. We wanted to raise our own money so that we would not have to pay a piper or, you know, deal with some sleazy politician or, you know, all the other madness that is business as usual in today's way of so-called, doing social justice work, for lack of a better word. Bottom line is, you know, we figured out how we're going to raise our own money. Let's put it like that. The Kujichagulia Ujamaa Ujamaa Sweepstakes is a very unique project in that, one, the Kujichagulia is the first phase of it, and it will focus on primarily literature kinds of things, meaning books, magazines, newspapers, writers, bookstores, etc. Our program is about making certain that we are able to promote and heighten interest in black literature. So essentially, we're going to have the sweepstakes, and the entry forms, which will be basically free, will be inside of selected books, selected magazines, and in all of the participating newspapers that are nationwide. So now, beginning in October, it is our plan to make this available to any of our people, to anyone's interested, actually, and you will be able to get an entry form via bookstores, via the newspapers, the periodicals, and so forth. Now, the independent publishers, black publishers, the independent distributors, and so forth, will be able to select books that they specifically want promoted, want marketed, and also various independent writers or independent publishers will also be able to promote their book. So, again, October, as a part of our 13-year anniversary, we will be kicking off a very, very groundbreaking project called the Kutuchangalia Ujima Ujamaa Sweepstakes. That is just one of the many ways that MWM will now be moving forward in order to obtain financial wealth, growth, development, and independence. And again, that particular project, phase one is Kutuchangalia, phase two, Ujima Ujamaa. Phase two will focus on products. That's right, black products. So essentially, in phase two, you will be able to get the entry form from black products. So we're going to be telling you more about that very, very soon, because we are still just working on a few of the specifics, but by next week, I think we'll be ready to really be able to give you a whole bunch, more information about that. So, okay, you can take note of that. Coming your way very soon, the Kutuchangalia Ujima Ujamaa Sweepstakes, an MWM special project that will prove to be not only extremely unique, extremely significant and powerful, very, very, very groundbreaking. Okay, that's just, again, one of the things we want to bring to your attention. And the other is October, again, for the MWM convention, Founders Convention, that is, we will be initiating, or shall we say, the installation ceremony, the kind of preliminary installation ceremony of our first 12 sister saints. That's right. You see, MWM was always established, or shall I say, was always, the intent was always to have something much more than just a quote-unquote march. I had a conversation with someone the other day about that. And it just, you know, it's so annoying sometimes when people don't get it, you know, when they don't want to get it. They don't want to realize that our plan was always something more than just a day. I remember in 97, I believe, one of the black female congresspersons went on a TV program, a cable program, as a matter of fact, and kind of, made a little sly comment about the Million Woman March and said something like, well, you know, we need more than just a feel-good day. You know, why would someone get on national, international TV and say something like that? Well, I mean, we, you know, it's a rhetorical question because we definitely knew the answer. But you know, it just points out that the Million Woman March was such a threat to the status quo because, you know, the so-called leaders and the gate holders and gatekeepers and so forth, they had nothing to do with it. They had no control over it. They had no little say in it, none of that, okay? And so the best thing that many of them could do was try to downplay it even afterwards. And that is what a few did. Now, here in Philadelphia, some of them literally tried to create an illusion of there being some another group. Okay, and they pumped them up, you know, to make it seem as if these people were, in fact, involved at the very beginning, and they weren't, you know. As a matter of fact, which brings me to another point, I need to take this time to bring about the disclaimer, because over the few years, the past few years in particular, you know, there have been some incidents here in Philadelphia in reference to a few people who have been involved in some questionable behavior when it comes to fundings. And it just so happened that two of these people were at some point volunteer coordinators for MWM in 1997. Now, also note that in 1998, I officially dissolved and disbanded all national coordinating committees because they were all ad hoc. They were designed to work towards bringing about the march. And therefore, after the march, they were no longer of any usage, of any need, and a whole other formation was, you know, put in place, was to be put in place. So the national coordinating teams were officially dissolved. Either some of them received written notices, others received verbal notices, and so forth and so on. But the bottom line is that the National Coordinating Committee and affiliates, all of that was dissolved by the end of 1998. Now, what ended up happening after that was, of course, you had several groups throughout the country, actually, who formulated, you know, some million woman march something or another. Only two that I know of were ever officiated by the national office. One in Philadelphia that became, you know, pretty well known was never officiated by the national office. But this, in fact, was a group that many of the politicians in Philadelphia wanted to support, because several of their members of that group were politically motivated and were connected to these various politicians. So the idea was to create this facade group so that the politicians could get access to the Men Women March and exploit it. At any rate, there was a major attempt to do that, even with the mayor of Philadelphia at that time. But again, because no one in that group could prove or even begin to provide any information or any substance or anything about the Million Women March prior to, February of 1997, they had no documentation, no indication of nothing prior to that time, and whatever they had was information that they got from our office. So what can we say? With that said, you know, to issue a cease and desist order would, you know, definitely not be difficult to do, because there was no proof of being able to show anything prior to what they've got from my office, whereas, of course, I could, you know, provide proof, evidence of organizing as early as 1995. Bottom line, that was eliminated. So, you know, to fast forward to things, we're now at a point where we're able to move forward. And I wanted to make sure that you were able to begin getting correct history. So with that said, coming in October, there will be the 2010 revised edition of 100 Amazing Facts about the Mayan Woman March. You're going to find some things in there to be probably very surprising, certainly very interesting. Now, for those who do get our e-blurb, if you are familiar with our position on Mumia Abu-Jamal, which I'm sure you are, we began in February of this year putting out information from a historical perspective that most did not know, and that is the fact that the Mayan Woman March, in its initial formation, there were several things that were objectives. And one of the objectives was to make certain that two things was to be highlighted and brought forward, as part of the assembly, the gathering, the 1997 gathering in Philadelphia, known as the Mayan Woman March. There were two things that happened in Philadelphia that were horrific, horrific and monumental as far as the black community was concerned. One of those things being the bombing of a community known as the MOVE organization, known as Osage Avenue, where an entire community, black community, went up in flames. Ramona Africa being the only person to survive, the only adult to survive, rather. There was a young brother who survived, known as Birdie, but Ramona was the only one that went to jail, okay? The other people, the city of Philadelphia, none of those people went to jail, none of them suffered anything, except, you know, now they kind of wish they didn't, but you know, from a legal standpoint, they didn't go through anything. So the bottom line is the Mayan Woman March, in its conception, was geared to make certain that Ramona's voice and the voice of those 11 people and the voice of that community and so forth could be heard, could have a platform that could reach and would reach a global scale. And so that did happen. Ramona Africa did speak at the Mayan Woman March. The other thing that was not told in the beginning was that Mumia Abu-Jamal, his case, his situation, was also a factor in developing certain aspects of what was going to happen at the Mayan Woman March, who was going to be a speaker, and what information was going to be matriculated. Needless to say, that also did happen. And thirdly, well, actually it's two other components, that occurred at the very beginning, that it was known that these things would happen, and this was done before a committee of any sort was assembled or put together. And the third thing was that Sister Mother Winnie Mandela was to be brought to Philadelphia. And again, because she was being accused of conspiracy, of murder, she was due to go to court, and she, of course, was running for president of South Africa. And so the Mayan Woman March was also intentionally put together in such a way in order to support Sister Winnie Mandela. The fourth reason that was not made public until well into 1997 was the situation of Sister Asada Shakur. Of course, Sister Asada Shakur's message was read directly, came directly from her, was read in English and in Spanish at the Mayan Woman March to make certain that this generation, as well as the previous generation, would remember, would be familiarized, would be acquainted with the history and the legacy of Asada Shakur, and that in doing so, we could be very watchful in making certain that no moves were made to go to try to apprehend her. So, these are some of the things that occurred during 1995 and mid-1996. And again, at that point, there was no committee, there was no group, there was none of that. Only a few folk who were, involved. Actually, they were, hand-selected to do specific things, which they agreed to do. And these things were done primarily underground. So, see, we can now tell these stories or provide this information because, as we said before, we have come full circle. We have come full circle. MWM is now at the top of the clock, okay? And therefore, we can now really fill in some of the blanks and some of the areas that, weren't filled in before, because strategically it just wasn't best to do that. Now, with that said, one of the other very important things we need to convey is, because it is so important that we establish our history, MWM has a history and legacy, and we must keep it intact. And so, again, you will be able to purchase, starting next month, the 100 Amazing Facts About the Man Woman March. Also, for those who are interested, we need your support because a few months back, our storage location was broken into and many of our items were stolen. We're talking about memorabilia, we're talking about documents and things of that nature that were really being kept for a later display, exhibit of MWM, because in the very near future, again, we are going to make certain that ample documentation, ability to make certain that facts and so forth are intact. So what we're asking is, if you have photos or articles or T-shirts or buttons or whatever that are original from 1997, we would really appreciate anything that you feel you can, let go or allow us to share, because we're really looking at, within the next year or so, putting together an exhibit that would really travel around the country, because the Man Woman March is, in fact, truly a historical phenomenon. It really is. And when you really know the history of how it got started and how it's been able to continue and so forth today, you will really see the beauty and the greatness of it. And so, again, we must maintain our own history, our own legacies, our own her story, and that is exactly what we're going to do. So if you have, again, anything that you want to share with us, be it letters, be it stories, be it articles, what have you, please call us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. You can also email us at nationalmwm@AOL.com. Again, nationalmwm@AOL.com. You can also send it to officialmwm@yahoo.com. Again, officialmwm@yahoo.com. Okay, let's see. We are still not seeing any of our callers there for the night. That is really strange, but there's nothing we can really do about that yet. Okay, moving right along. Let's see, the other thing that we want to convey to you was one more thing. Getting back to the history component, there is a team of folk that's being put together here in Philly that is going to be the MWM Historical Preservation Society or Committee. And it is going to meet in about another week. We were really blessed a couple of weeks ago to be brought some information. And let's see, I think in either 2008 or 2009, or thereabouts, I had a meeting with the President General of the UNIA, Baba Battle, Baba Reedman Battle is his name, and he was the President General of the UNIA at the time. He made transition a couple of years ago, I believe at the age of 86, but rest assured, this elder was one of the sharpest elders you ever wanted to see. And I was certainly blessed to be able to, you know, have him in my life, and definitely benefited from it greatly with his words of wisdom. Nevertheless, in dialoguing with him, and in one point conveying to him concerns that I had about some of the internal struggles that were going on inside of MWM, and some of the problems that I was incurring in further building, one of the things that he conveyed to me very clearly was that I had to institutionalize it. He impressed upon me emphatically that it was necessary to make certain that the MWM idea, concept, and so forth be placed in such a way that it is indisputable and that it's, in fact, you know, an institution. And I promised him that I would do that, and of course, you know, it was something that I knew that had to happen anyway, but with him really impressing it upon me in the way that he did, I knew that it was absolutely necessary, because realistically speaking, when we talk about black institutions in America today, the UNIA, the movement of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, is probably one of the best-known established movements in this country. So for President General Reedman Battle to tell me to institutionalize the Million Woman March and its movement, I then know that, you know, I then know that it is the thing to do. So I would have to, you know, do that. And that is exactly what it is that we are going to do now. So the MWM Historical Celebrations Group is going to meet very shortly. And with that said, for those who are interested, if you live in the Philadelphia area, for those who are interested, you can definitely get more information by calling area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Okay, so that is on that. The MWM Historical Preservation Group will be responsible for documenting, recording information about the Million Woman March. It will also be responsible for assuring that, you know, historical aspects of it is intact, in place, and that, you know, that will be able to be maintained for the years to come. So, again, for those persons who are in the Philadelphia area, if you are interested in maybe being a part of that group, you can call area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Or you can email nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Okay, we are looking again to see if we have the caller we were expecting for tonight. I do see that Chairman Fried is calling in now. We were hoping to have Brother Malcolm Shabazz to join us, and he's probably still doing a lecture, but we're going to go to our live line at any rate. And, of course, for those of you who were able to tune into the last program, you, of course, heard the Dynamite show that we did with Chairman Fred last, I guess it was Monday or thereabouts. You know, it's always a pleasure to have our brother on, and we're definitely looking forward to building with Brother Fred and Chairman Fred and also Brother Malcolm. The other thing we wanted to mention to you, and I don't know if I got the opportunity to send it to Chairman Fred yet, but we were talking about earlier about the latest incident that occurred here in Philadelphia with a skier being, you know, brutally beaten, taunted, terrorized. Again, if you go to YouTube, put in West Philly police, and it'll come up. And once you see it, I mean, it'll speak for itself. But what we're going to do now, again, we're going to go to our live line. And, you know, again, the person that I was definitely able to connect with, and when it came to the terminology, the you know, redefining this whole concept of police brutality, when I heard Chairman Fred said, no, we gotta bump this thing up. You know, this is terrorism. And see, today, again, 9/11, while people are running around talking about what happened in New York, we say this is what happened 24/7 to black folks in the hood. Terrorism. All the time, in one way, shape, fashion, or form. But anyway, let's go to our live line. And joining us is Chairman Fred Hampton. Again, this is the chairman of POCC, Prison of the Conscious Committee. And, you know, as usual, Chairman Fred is always about doing the work of our people. Of course, the legacy of his father, the legacy of our ancestors. And, you know, what we're going to do is continue to not only talk about the work that we know we must do, but also make it certain that those legacies are not just continued, but, again, that we bump it up to the next level. So we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And before we do, I want to remind you of one other thing, and that is, remember, we're now raising the bar, family. We're raising the bar. We talked earlier about human rights. Well, now we're getting ready to step it up. And with stepping it up, we're talking about something called natural rights. Because what they call human rights, we know that's like what? I mean, that is just so, like, not even real. But we know we've got to struggle for our natural rights. So we're going to go to our live line, and again, we're going to talk with Chairman Fred. Chairman Fred, you there?
I'm with you, Empress. It's good to be back with you. Rather, it's good to be black with you.
I know that's right.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I want to definitely apologize to the listeners. I don't know how much life I got on this. I'm on the cell phone now, but We also was working on getting our young Malcolm on tonight.
Yes.
As we attempted the other night. But his last contact, he was relaying to me that the event, I think the Professor Griff, they was doing something for North Carolina. It wasn't longer than they expected. Yeah. But we're gonna make this happen. We're gonna get the young brother online, you know, so get the word out. We're gonna make it happen.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's try to do this. Yeah, if possible, if you can, Chairman Fred, talk with Brother Malcolm and see if we can go for Monday.
Okay.
Monday night,
yes.
Okay,
again,
yeah, because
I know they're ready to roll, you know, so we're going to make this happen Monday night for sure. Yes, indeed.
Okay, that sounds good.
Right.
And then by then, I will make sure that you have seen or you've gotten the video, because I want you to see the video.
I have to see that. I've been hearing about it. Yes, indeed. I must see it.
Okay.
And just to reiterate what you just pointed out, you know, as we always say, every day is September 11th for us, and this is, you know, the terrorism that we subjected to on a day-to-day basis. I think I'm going to paraphrase the Father Shakur had said, that you know, we're being oppressed. We have to continuously remind ourselves what's normal and what's abnormal, and not in a demeaning, demoralized type of way, but just if we're not careful, we can start to expect, you know, this being shot 41 times, being pulled over 3-4 times a day, being beat down, you know, after a while we started to look at these atrocities as normal in our community. And we must, again, right. you know, constantly remind ourselves, you know, this ain't the way it's supposed to go. You know, this way it can't go, you know.
That's right. It is so strange because when I turned on the radio earlier today, I mean, like every 5 minutes, you know, they were talking about, yeah, this is 911. This is the day. I'm like, are they serious?
It's, the state, they understand the importance of propaganda, and they work in to propaganda to the point that even us, the victims, we start to become cold or non-responsive to the terror that we subjected to. I said on a number of occasions, I talk about this example when I was locked up in leave a Stateville, a place called Stateville. We call it Deathfield, though. And I recall we was watching some live footage of Rwanda. And the brother was in the cell, the cage. I mean, he was very non-responsive to this. And you know, I mean, it was thousands upon thousands of dead bodies, carnage just floating through the water, swollen bodies, and he had no response. Then next, like 20 minutes later, the movie came on, The Diary of Anne Frank. You know, they talked about, you know, these were actors and actresses depicting what happened in Nazi Germany. And this guy cried like a baby. And I said, man, what happened? Did the mailman run? He brought some bad mail. You get some bad news from home. And he said, man, you don't see what they're going through? I said, man, how did you you just seen real footage of what our people going through, you know? And it's like, you know, and on day-to-day, you know how we watch the news, the propaganda, you see, I mean, they can say some little, you know, probably white bread or some little, you know, some girl from the ruling class is missing, and this whole big, you know, world alert, you know, but when in our community, you know, some babies kidnapped, you know, slaughtered, so, you know, even us, we become, you know, cold and desensitized to it, you know.
And yes.
Part of the warfare that's waged on us, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, this system, U.S. imperialism in particular, is extremely Machiavellian in its ability to flip the script and make the victims appear as the criminals, and the criminals appear to be the victims, you know, and even to sympathize and to relate with other people's struggles or pain. But when it comes to us, you know, so we don't. So that's why we got to, you know, struggle to internalize and politicize every, you know, atrocity that goes on, you know what I'm saying, it goes down with us. And even our terms, you know, a lot of people question me before, well, are you violent or non-violent? I say, well, we're anti-violent or post-survival. For full disclosure, let the record reflect. I didn't see Reverend Nat Turner as being violent. I see him as, you know, as a post-survivalist. And we got to be very careful on how the system attempts to, you know, place us into the, you know, and define us. You follow what I'm saying? And we say that anything the oppressed do to get the oppressor off his back is justified. And but it's extremely important that we politicize our terms and heighten the level of conscious people that they be able to distinguish liberating from stealing, revolution from reactionaryism. And the state, this is a government that when it launches its attacks, its attacks. You know, even when they were dropping bombs in Iraq, they were called peace missiles. That's what the U.S. referred to them, peace missiles. But the anything that Iraq gets in fact, they refer to them as Scud missiles. You know, and so,
right.
So again, these are the examples of the, you know, the propaganda when the U.S. aggression against the Vietnamese people. They didn't say they were killing Vietnamese women and children. They said they desensitized the troops as well as the American populace by saying they were just killing VCs, situation in Somalia. They weren't killing our people in Somalia. They were killing what they referred to as skinnies. You know, look at that movie Black Hawk Down, which coincidentally, even for a movie come from the ruling class, it did show some courageous resistance to our people in Somalia. But they use these terms. They said they were killing. They were not killing your beef. They were killing skinnies. So we must in turn understand the importance of propaganda, understand the importance of terms, you know what I'm saying, and be consistent with our terms, you know, because we historically, they told us that Columbus discovered America, all this is, you know, so we have to start using brutal terms for brutal realities again, not let the ruling class, nor the white left, nor the petty bourgeoisie give us such softball terms as police brutality. This is police terrorism. That's what it is. Because the reality is, no matter what walk of life we come from in our community, when those flashing blue lights come behind us in those cars, when those marked cars, you know what I'm saying, those come through our community, all of us experience that same sentiment of terror from the top of our head to the tip of our toes. We don't know where we're going to be at tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to see our children tomorrow. And this affects every aspect of our life, or better yet, every aspect of our existence. Because we say, again, what Mom, you said, you know, this ain't living. So we, you know, again, we must stress brutal terms for brutal realities.
You know, Jennifer, the other thing too, I'd like to add to that is this whole idea of violence and nonviolence. I mean, I think it's important that we stress that not only is self-defense, that's not in that category at all anyway. When you are dealing with self-defense, you're dealing with your right to protect yourself or your family or your, you know, go ahead. So to even begin to put certain things in the same framework, you know, we got to be clear about that as well. So you're right on point, as usual, with breaking it down like that. And the other thing, too, that is very important, a lot of times I hear people now talking about white supremacy. And see, that's one of those terminologies that I now tell people. I say, look, I don't use that phraseology. I call it attempted white global domination. See, it's their attempt to impose white global domination. I don't call that white supremacy. You know, we buy into terminologies that they give us. That we didn't coin that. We didn't phrase that.
Yeah.
That's something that they was phrasing during Hitler and all the time period. They called it white supremacy. And then we piggybacked on it, and then we started, you know, using it, you know, white supremacy. I'm like, no, I'm not even going to put white in the same sentence with supreme.
You know, even in our communities, you notice, I'm sure this is the case in Philadelphia, you know, I know it's the case in Chicago and so many other places, even a lot of the monikers or the nicknames that the police are given, you know, a lot of times people think that the community gives them to them, but actually they're giving, you know, they're giving from the police themselves. You hear these things like RoboCop and these superior names. It sets the stage for defeatism, you know, amongst the community. You know, so you start hearing these superhero type names, you know, saying, you know, but when we have to even struggle to get to apply the meaning names, you know what I'm saying? I was reading this piece, I think it was off about Minister Elgin. He was talking about the whole struggle that Minister UEP Newnett went through about even coming up with the terminology of pig. And so people to grab a term that cross generational and cross race, you know what I'm saying? That's something else. Because that's something we have to deal with, too, because, I mean, because the question of the black police, the black pigs in our community, and, you know, it needs something to be applicable to all of them. And because they do this whole propaganda, you know, we serve and protect, officers are friendly, so on and so forth. So something come out that was so demeaning that people can say, man, mama, are you calling the pigs on me? So that was strategic. So even the terms, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people think we just use these terms for slick sound biting, you know, to make it sound catchy. But again, it's a political component, you know. In fact, it is political.
Right.
You know, these terms,
right.
And we must grasp this and understand, you know, and understand the importance of, you know, since Che Guevara said the role of the propagandist can be as important as the guerrilla. So, you know, so we must again struggle to use brutal terms for brutal realities and not let them get us caught up in these cases of there's a few bad police. And like I was doing an interview yesterday here in Chicago about the announcement. Daly said he's not going to run again, and the reporter come on questioning me, like, you know, you don't mean why you keep referring to him as Gangster Daly, and I come to Gangster Daly, and I said Chicago does have a gang problem, and this is the gang chief, you know, so this is, you know, Don Daly, you know what I'm saying, the whole We got the Talmud quote. When Frank Sinatra was in Chicago, was this kind of town he meant it. And you can't dismiss the whole Irish mafia. I'm talking about the Mike Madigan, the House Speaker in Illinois, the Jack O'Malley, the Dick Devine, all these state attorneys that was under the Daley tenure, the whole connection of the Irish mafia right in Chicago. And if I take your definition of what they refer to as a gang and how it operates in the jails and the drugs, narcotics, and the murders, you know, saying the hitmen, he had enforcers like Lieutenant John Burge. I said, man, by the same definition, this is a gang, you know. And the gang chief is Don Daley, and everybody around has been locked up against cases. He's the Teflon Don, you know.
Wow. Well, you know, it is more than obvious that we have our work cut out for us, and it is also more than obvious that some of us are, you know, as Baba Kwame Ture would say, ready for the revolution.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You know?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm trying to plug this phone up while I'm speaking to y'all, so keep it coming. How much juice I get on here?
All right, my brother. We're not going to hold you. We had extended our show for tonight just in case Brother Malcolm was able to call in, but that's okay. Technically, we would be going off the air. You know, we would have to go if we had, you know, did our regular show.
Yeah.
But we wanted to make sure that we were able to, you know, try to allocate as much time as possible. But, you know, as usual, brother, we appreciate you taking the time to call in. And it's done.
All right, we appreciate you, Black. Keep doing what you do. And again, I just want to say revolutionary appreciations and to you as well as the listeners. And again, we deeply apologize. We gonna pull this up Monday. I know a lot of people, you know, waiting here with this brother gonna talk about. But again, we gonna make this happen Monday, you know. And I'm real confident. You know, I'm real inspired. You know, saying that we get this brother online with us, you know. And as I told him, we're going to make history, we're going to take history, and we're going to record this show,
right.
And we're going to tape our own history.
I know that's right. Well,
yes,
brother,
indeed.
Just get back to me and let me know what time would be the best time. Like I said, the one thing I like about the shows that we do is that, you know, 9 times out of 10, we can schedule them at any time. So,
yes, indeed.
Very, very beautiful thing about the kind of setup that we have. But finally, before I let you go, I want to remind you, I need your mother's bio. Because, again, we're in the process now of putting together, certain components for our founders' convention for next month.
Yes, indeed.
And, again, one of the key things we want to do is a tribute to the mothers, daughters, and sisters of the movement.
I will get on the ASAP episode. I'll be on there right now.
All right, my brother.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, love, respect.
All right, brother. I look to talk to you Monday.
We're going to make it happen.
All right, now.
Right on. Four.
Much love. All right. Peace to you. Okay, family, again, that was our brother, Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr., and as he indicated, Brother Malcolm Shabazz is still doing a lecture about now, and I think you said in North Carolina, so we're going to have to hold on again for that dialogue. I mean, this was going to be a powerful dialogue. We've been trying to do this one all week, but I am sure it's going to be so, so worth the wait, you know, because this brother has a lot to say, a lot to share, and, you know, in talking to Chairman Fred, you know, Brother Malcolm has really come a long ways in, you know, moving forward. And so, you know, we want him to know that we're here. We are his family. We're going to be his family. And, you know, we want to support him in whatever way possible. So we're sure that when he is able to come on the show, you know, you two are going to find that much growth and development has taken place. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Okay, we definitely are going to get ready to close our show for tonight. We did extend our show an extra half an hour. In the event we were going to run over, we would have been prepared for that. For whatever reason, Brother Kareem did not call in either. I'm kind of concerned about that, so I'm going to call him actually when we get off the air tonight to kind of find out what happened. But we do know that there is another rally tomorrow around the area of 56th and Lansdowne Avenue. And I'm not sure of the time. I think it's probably going to be around 12 o'clock. But, again, if you are interested in knowing more about that particular case or what have you, all you have to do is give us a call at area code 267-636-3802 or nationalmwm at aol.com. And we'll definitely, you know, send you the updates and so forth. We do plan to have Brother Skier's attorney on our show very soon, this coming week. We did speak with him earlier, so we'll be able to get some other updates and insight as well. Okay, so let's see. The other person didn't call was Miss Jane. Brother Cliff, you was right. You said that Miss Jane was not going to call in, and it seems like you were right. That's kind of strange because, you know, she just seemed like she just wanted to tell us about how we should all come together as women, you know, no matter what race, no matter what color, no matter, we should all come together as women and do the Million Women's March or something like that, okay? She was, you know, she was real adamant about trying to push that. Anyway, she didn't call either, so I guess that's that. But you all know who is who and what is what, and for those who don't, you will. And with that said, we're going to get ready to close out for tonight. We certainly feel wonderful about being with you tonight, and with the things that are really coming, we are so happy about that. We're going to give you more insight and information about some of the things that's happening. A little later on in this week, we'll probably do a couple of special broadcasts, but certainly next Saturday, for sure, this time, this place, we'll be back, okay? Before we go, I want to remind you that we didn't give you names for the 12 Sister Saints, our first 12 Sister Saints. Well, Queen Mother Moore, of course you know, I think we said that one before. Mother Harriet Tubman, I think we might have mentioned that one before. Mother Fannie Lou Hamer. Mother Ella Baker. Let's see. Mother Ida B. Wells. Okay, and Mother Mary McLeod Bethune. Those are a few of the, I think there might be six of 12. And then on Saturday of next week, we'll give you the other six. But these will be the first inductees for our STEMWM Sister Saints as we begin to develop the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. And we're getting ready to launch the various programs and activities and so forth that's connected to that, our five-year action plan plus two for power, prosperity, and peace. For those who want more information about the Kuji Chandelier Ujima Ujamaa Sweepstakes, again, give us a call, 267-636-3802, nationalmwm at aol.com. This, too, quite historic, okay? So we're, you know, about to do some very, very important, significant things next year. Well, first of all, this year for the convention, it will begin to put together the new 2010 to 2011 coordinating teams that will help to, you know, formulate some of what's going to happen or help to assist some of what's going to happen for next year. We're looking at going into Canada, the other part of North America, into Canada to establish the Million Women Movement in Canada. And then from there, we'll be going to... I'll tell you next week where we're going with that. Okay. And anyway, family, again, we thank all of you for tuning in. We hope that you will continue to tune in and let others know that we are here. We're going to be here. We're going to continue to do the work that has been mandated by the National MWM office and, of course, the founding office. Please make certain that you stay in tune, because next week we'll be able to give you information about how you can purchase your 100 Amazing Facts about the Million Woman March, and also registration for the upcoming MWM Founders Convention happening in October. Next week, we'll also let you know more about the LOX Conference that's coming up October the 2nd and the 3rd. Both Sister PM Africa and myself will be presenters at this year's LOX Conference. We hope to have Sister Kusawa Sabri on, who will be telling you more about what's going to be happening at the LOX Conference this year. I'm going to try to get it on for, I think, next week. And if not, definitely the following week. Anyway, we thank you again, Asante Sana, for tuning in. And before we leave you with the thought of there can be no peace. There can be no hope without Ma'at. There could be no peace without justice. With that said, Ma'at Hotep, until next week, Tutanana.